Madam Speaker, it is with great pleasure that I rise in this Honourable House in support of the Appropriation Bill 2011-2012. As I have had the opportunity to reflect on much of the discussions of this debate, it is clear, Madam Speaker, that St. Lucia is now moving in the right direction. As we reflect, Madam Speaker, on this budget presentation by the Honourable Prime Minister, it is clear, Madam Speaker, that it has been a very difficult time, and leadership is not masked, or good leadership and good management does not necessarily mean anything much when it is fair or good weather. Because if you sail in, or if you are the captain of a ship, when the waters are calm, almost anybody can be at the wheel. It is during the time when the seas are rough, when the winds are boisterous, when the ship is being tossed and hit on every side by waves from all directions, that is when you can measure how good the captain is. And it is clear, Madam Speaker, that the ship of state in St. Lucia has gone through many terrible storms since this government came into office in December of 2006. But here we are today, Madam Speaker. After just a little over 4 years, maneuvering through the waves, the earthquake, the storm, the financial crisis, the crime situation, you name it, Madam Speaker. And today, we have been able, under the leadership of the member for Castries North, to steady the ship of state and to keep it afloat amid the most difficult and challenging times in this world's history. Madam Speaker, the President of the World Bank said that the world is one crisis away. Just one. The world is one shock away from crisis. And we can see this is not something new to us. We have the advent of the internet. We have television. And we see it every day, Madam Speaker. The turmoil, the unrest, the economic instability that has hit this world. But you know one thing I believe about us, Madam Speaker. As a Christian nation, as a praying people, God has guided us through safely. And we are thankful. When we speak about 4.4% growth, Madam Speaker, this does not mean that everything is okay with everybody out there. It doesn't say in any way that everybody got a job and everyone has money in their pocket as much as they desire. Madam Speaker, I understand very well that these are statistics. And if you look at the two areas of growth, tourism and the manufacturing sector, which contributed to this growth in the economy, it would not have been felt by every single St. Lucian in every area. But Madam Speaker, the fact remains, construction, that's right, in the construction sector. Madam Speaker, the fact remains that what this does, when it gets to GDP, has been rebased and is at 64%. When the growth pattern shows a 4.4% increase, it creates an enabling environment for investment. It gives a much better picture of the country. And Madam Speaker, talking about the rebate, I was hoping that the leader of the opposition would have been here. Madam Speaker, he likes to brand around papers. And I'm glad that he gets information. You know why I'm happy he gets information? Because if there was anything corrupt about this government, the same way he waved papers around, he would have found the papers to wave them. But Madam Speaker, I have said to the members opposite, you cannot find what is not there. What is not there cannot be found. Royalties, we will come to that. I never heard royalties being paid to ministers of government. But Madam Speaker, if we look at what has happened, and I will come to the rebate figures in my presentation, Madam Speaker, because it is clear that if the rebate figures were designed to make this country look good, well, we have to call into question what the ECCU member states and the central bank is doing, Madam Speaker, because here it is. Under the rebate, Anguilla, which had 3.8% in 2001, now I'm using 2001 as a base year, Madam Speaker, because the previous administration, the biggest crisis they faced from 1997 to 2006 was on the basis of 9-1-1. What happened outside of St. Lucia that impacted us? Anguilla had 3.8% growth in 2001. That's under the rebate method. Antigua Barbuda had minus 4.1. Dominica had a positive 0.1. Grenada, a minus 1.4. Montserrat, 2.7 positive. St. Lucia, minus 4.2. And St. Vincent and the Grenadines, 1.5 positive. In 2010, Madam Speaker, Anguilla, under the rebate, minus 3.8. Antigua Barbuda, minus 5.9. Dominica, minus 0.3. Negative, that's right. Negative 2.5. Thank you. Thank you, member. Thank you, member for Castries South. Montserrat, negative 2.9. And Madam Speaker, I always accept correction. St. Kitts and Nevis, negative 4.2. St. Lucia, 4.4, positive. And St. Vincent and the Grenadines, negative 1.2. Now, Madam Speaker, I'm not bragging about this, but this tells us that the claims by the opposition that this government, this present government, does not know how to run a country, does not know what it takes to make an economy grow. Madam Speaker, these figures prove them wrong. And that is why they cannot accept it, Madam Speaker. That is why they will not accept it. Because against all odds, against the worst drought that this country has seen, at least in my lifetime, and the worst hurricane, Madam Speaker, I can imagine that things could have been a lot better had it not been for these natural disasters. Now, Madam Speaker, coming to the issues of the questions raised by the leader of the opposition, Madam Speaker, I saw the leader of the opposition rejoicing yesterday. And he said he finally found the document and said there would be no cost overrun under my watch. And he was waving a paper in his hand, $362,000 of cost overruns on a project in Goodland. But Madam Speaker, may I remind the leader of the opposition that sometimes some people have selective memory. And in as much as they have selective memory, they also select what level of information they will give to the public. Madam Speaker, in the original project that was to be undertaken, we had to construct about 1,000 square meters of road. When we went in there and the road was started, we realized that there was a lot more work to be done. And I said, you cannot go into my constituency and do half of a road and leave the other half. I said, you need to tackle the entire road. The first mistake that was made, Madam Speaker, was they measured the wrong road. The road was measured opposite the road that was to be done. So it was 1,000 and about 80 square meters. The final measurement, Madam Speaker, was 2,700 square meters. Now the original contract was for the 342,000. The amount of work was increased by 1.7 times the initial contract price for a difference of only $362,000. Now, Madam Speaker, I wish to know how that accumulates to cost overruns. Because, Madam Speaker, I wanted to ask the member opposite, the leader of the opposition, how many more miles of road was done from Supre to Viewport. I want to know if the original road was 10 miles and if we actually constructed 40 miles for us to move from 43 million to 133 million. Now, additional work cannot be equated to cost overruns. And you heard the member for Central Castries, Madam Speaker, when he spoke about guarantees for cost overruns. Of course, if I guarantee cost overruns, there will be cost overruns. Because that's the only way the guarantee will come into effect. So, Madam Speaker, on the other issues that were raised, Deriso Road, Azure Deriso. Remember, for Likud South is here, Madam Speaker. And the member would know that no scope of works have been changed on this project. No scope of works have been changed. And I can assure them, they want to know about AMM, asphalt and mining and my connections with them. Madam Speaker, let them go one day over the time limit allotted to them for completion of this road, and we will find out how much they will pay. And Madam Speaker, I have made promises to the people of St. Lucia, not to the members opposite, that contractors who do not deliver on time will pay. And I am proud to report today, Madam Speaker, that Emil Gadakas, the contractor on the East Coast Road, has been charged $1.6 million for delays of the completion of the East Coast Road. And I want to ask members opposite, when was the last time a contractor was charged for not delivering a project on time in this country? Further, Madam Speaker, he has been charged another $600,000 for delays on the West Coast Road. That is the work being undertaken between Castries to Sufras, because Madam Speaker, people who come to this country and offer themselves to do things for the people of this country must be held accountable. Now, Madam Speaker, if I wanted royalties paid to me, they would be paid to me. But I have told the contractors, they have an obligation to the people of the country. And I don't go to no back door and make no arrangement with anybody. I say you pay the money to the country. And you know what they are doing with it now? Yeah, we will come to that, member. Ministers are being paid royalties, but not ministers on this side of the house. Madam Speaker, presently, the contractor is paving the road in front of the Supre Hospital for the charges levied against him. We are not paying him 1 cent. The money that we have charged him, he is using it to save the street in Supre for the people of the town of Supre who suffered a lot of inconvenience after the passage of Hurricane Trump. Now, Madam Speaker, that is transparent. And that is accountability. We said to the people, we are going to account for what was done. Of course, they are fixing roads. They are doing some in Denry. They are doing some in Likud. They are doing roads all over because we understand that they said to us, look here, we have all the materials. We have everything. We sent our engineers to verify the cost. Madam Speaker, nobody is giving this country a 649 under this administration because we have made it a point that we are going to represent the interest of the people first and foremost. Madam Speaker, let me reflect briefly on the passage of Hurricane Thomas. And I was particularly saddened by the presentation of the member for Beaufort South and leader of the opposition. You know why, Madam Speaker? Not for one moment did he stand in this honorable house and thank the contractors of St. Lucia for not allowing the economy of this country to be shut down after the devastation caused by Hurricane Thomas. What did he do instead, Madam Speaker? He chose to come here and chastise and try to castigate the contractors who risked their lives, the safety of their equipment and everything to help restore this country. Madam Speaker, we the people of St. Lucia owe a debt of gratitude to every contractor in this country who did not care when they were getting paid, how they were getting paid, but went out there and worked night and day to restore this country. Madam Speaker, the leader of the opposition was in the U.S. at the time, so I didn't expect him to even understand the magnitude of what we had on the ground. To have started work on the Wadoas Bridge, Madam Speaker, at 1 a.m. on the Monday morning after the hurricane. The hurricane was on Sunday. And to have opened that bridge by 6, by 7 that same morning, and to have started Wadoas the same time, and by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, Madam Speaker, these bridges were open and confidence was restored that we have the ability and the capacity to rebuild this country. And what happened? What were the funds that these people got, Madam Speaker? From people who are presenting manifestos in this honorable house and want to tell the people of this country, give us a chance, we will work with you. Madam Speaker, sometimes they criticize our locals and we go after our locals as if they have no capability and no capacity to do anything. Madam Speaker, the local contractors of this country, they were destroyed by the opposition. Now, Madam Speaker, I will show you something. The member for Beaufort South said the locals should not be getting the work, or the work should be evenly distributed. But Madam Speaker, he deliberately eliminated some names from the list that he was waving. But I will not call their names, because I believe if somebody works for the government of St. Lucia and they get paid $40,000 or $50,000 or $900,000, it is not my business to come in this house unless it is challenged. Everybody don't want to come and work for the country and for their business to be broadcast all over the place. If there are reasons to be suspicious, okay. But Madam Speaker, I will mention those who are mentioned. Hippolyte Equipment was mentioned, Madam Speaker. They were mentioned. But let me tell you, Madam Speaker, they were mentioned at least six times. Four of the jobs that they did not come up to what one contractor did, one job in Super. That was second on the list of names that the leader of the opposition deliberately did not mention. Is it because of affiliations? I cannot affiliate anybody with any political party, because I know, Madam Speaker, as minister, I was not employing anybody here. We have a policy in the Ministry of Communications and Works that when there is a disaster, Madam Speaker, every engineer has a zone, everybody has an area that they are responsible for, and the first directive that is given to them is to restore things as quickly as possible. How could I, as minister, monitor everybody who was employed from Supre back to Groseilliers? How is that possible, Madam Speaker? And to say employ this one and don't employ that one? One thing I know, Madam Speaker, I was on the Bois d'Orange Bridge. I took my phone and I called every contractor that I could possibly find. Only three of them responded at the 1 o'clock in the morning. Hippolyte Equipment, Sewa Construction, and Sipal's Construction. These were the three that I got. And when they said we'll start tomorrow morning, I said no. We start at 1 a.m. By 7 a.m. we open in the bridge. And the Prime Minister and myself, we were there, Madam Speaker, to see that it happened. We did not shut down the tourism industry because we understood that agriculture had been wiped out for that period of time. If we had allowed our roads to remain impassable for an indefinite period of time, if we had put out a notice that we were shutting down the country, Madam Speaker, it would take us 2 years before things could reopen. When cruise ships were in the harbor, we were being chastised and say that, look, there's not even water for us. But you all are letting the cruise ships come in and giving them the water, while it was the cruise ships bringing water for us, Madam Speaker. Today, I stand in this honorable house, and I have to thank the people of the cruise sector for the wonderful contribution and the assistance they gave us. To the French countries of Guadeloupe, Martinique, and French Guiana for the support that they gave us during this critical period of time. To the Red Cross and NEMO and every organization, Madam Speaker, the people of Mac, Dexter, Supre, and around the island. Madam Speaker, some of us did not have the opportunity to see the extent of the damage. What you see on television, and what you see with your eyes being out there. Madam Speaker, when I went around and I saw what happened, when I looked at the country, it was depressing. It was a situation where you did not know where to start. And that is why when I saw what happened in Japan, Madam Speaker, my heart went out to the people there, because I have witnessed a level of devastation in St. Lucia that you could not even fully comprehend. as we went around in the helicopter, Madam Speaker. But sometimes our people forget quickly, and sometimes those who are in responsible positions also forget where we came from, over what period of time, and where we are today. All is not well, Madam Speaker. The rivers still need to be desilted. There are rivers we have desilted 3 times, and the level of silt is still back to the same level. Why? Because the hills still have the scars, and every time it rains, more and more silt washes down the river. Madam Speaker, it will take us years to repair this country. It will take us years to rebuild. But we have started, and we are determined that we are going to do the best that we can. So, Madam Speaker, you can't wait for the conscience. You can't wait for the ABA. We have to do things gradually. Sometimes you have a home, you see a hole in the board. You can't see a hole side, Kaila, Madam Speaker. You can't pay compe. You do as you can, Madam Speaker. We do not have a big portfolio of money somewhere where we can just go and take it. And Madam Speaker, I can always tell you, Madam Speaker, when I listen to this, when I listen to the argument, when I listen to what is presented by the opposition, they tell you all the things they will do. You know what they never said, Madam Speaker? Where will the money come from to do all of these things? Yes, they put in a pesa. Put moon sabio ka y pesa. Kote la zan ka sorti, ou pesa ou di, ou ka y pesa. Now, Madam Speaker, I want to look at some things about waste. We talk about waste. Page 19, Madam Speaker, of the Office of Audit St. Lucia, April 2007. It says, listen to this, the request for the construction of the Henry Site Office, $320,000, was made after the work had started. According to the consultant's progress report of May 2006, the construction of the site office was 100% complete, with interior and finishing at 99% complete. In other words, before it came to the central tender board, Madam Speaker, they had done 99% of the work. But it's then the tender in the contract. But you do say nuki ka buy direct award. So mwele sam kiman ye. You buy a contract, Madam Speaker. Le contract la ha finish. He ha fin da fi buy la. Then you can in a buy tenders bot la. Who tenders bot la to. Now, I don't know how to interpret this one, Madam Speaker, so I will not try to. But the facts are there, and they speak for themselves. Now, they always say I'm talking about CCI and GE. But I'm not speaking about CCI and GE. We're talking about the East Coast Road, Madam. The East Coast Road. We noted 2 requests for variations of the contract Catherine Suprale on June 30th, 2007. Your TA from Suprale Bridge to Canal Bridge, the 2 Mikuds that the member for Mikud South spoke about. Your TA did Toshi Mesa as to East Coast Road last, and you may Sun Susi, you may Fulato to San Susi as part of East Coast Road. And then you tell me political victimization. What political victimization? Who was victimizing who, Madam Speaker? The people of Mikud, and by extension, because it is the highway that links the north to the south, everybody in St. Lucia who uses this highway was victimized just in order to punish the people of Likud North and Likud South for having remained loyal to the United Workers' Party. And then we hear them talking about 59 people. Madam Speaker, there was a gentleman on the airport fence in 2000, in 1997, Madam Speaker. He was on the airport fence welding and fixing up some holes in the fence. When the SLP won the election, they walked up to him and they tell him, whatever you hear the comment, whatever you have done, we will pay you for it. And you end it right there. Madam Speaker, the hole remained in the fence until British Airways had threatened to pull out of St. Lucia when they fixed the hole. We want to come in this honorable house thinking that the people of St. Lucia have forgotten what was done to them for the past 9 years of Labour Party reign in this country, Madam Speaker, and we want to pretend that we are reformed. But Madam Speaker, a wolf in sheep's clothing is still a wolf. A wolf in sheep's clothing. He says, still a wolf. Madam Speaker, we're talking about wasted. We are talking about wasted. And they talk about I give people too much work. Madam Speaker, here's what fascinated me the most in this. What fascinated me. We are of the opinion, Madam Speaker. Now this is the audit department speaking here. We are of the opinion that the contractor was so saturated with work, which placed a strain on his resources and capabilities, and consequently was unable to execute the East Coast Road Project Package 2 with the full level of expertise within the time frame required. Now, Madam Speaker, this is a foreign contractor that the Labour Party government gave him so much work. Now, is there a word for saturated in passport? Well, Madam Speaker, I don't know if I can use that word. May you be the God X Wi-Fi. It has gone. It shall not qualify, Madam Speaker. It passes at qualify. At the same time, the local contractors, Madam Speaker, they were begging for the crumbs falling from the table of the St. Lucia Labour Party. CMD closed down. Hippolyte Equipment. And Madam Speaker, there's a particular reason why the Labour Party has consistently attacked Hippolyte Equipment. It goes beyond the reign of this government because the records are there that the Labour Party, Madam Speaker, put an injunction against him with the Inland Revenue Department that he could not buy, he could not sell, he could not do anything in this country. A caution was put on everything that he had, a local contractor. You know why, Madam Speaker? Because when BMG and Hippolyte Equipment got together, Madam Speaker, when the West Coast Road was to be constructed, they got together. They formed a company and they did it as a local company. And there seemed to have been some irregularities, Madam Speaker, in how the tender was being administered. So they challenged. And you know one thing you don't do. You do not challenge the leader of the opposition. He will destroy this whole country to destroy you in the process. Madam Speaker, you look at this situation. St. Lucia is bigger than you. St. Lucia is bigger than me. And when we are not there, St. Lucia will still be there. And when we are not in government, somebody will still run the affairs of state. There are some people who believe that they have a God-given right to this country, and they call it their country. We're coming back to take our country. Well, Madam Speaker, this is your country, and this is my country, and this is our country. This country belongs to no political party. It belongs to the people of St. Lucia. And they want to talk about being divided on political lines. Madam Speaker, I want to challenge them to show me one contractor who has gone under during the reign of this United Workers' Party. Because you know what, Madam Speaker? We give everybody work in this country. And if they want the evidence, I can show them. Madam Speaker, when a man is so saturated with work, a foreign contractor, and then the other people not getting no work, and you call that good governance, and they say they're coming back and they're giving so much, I want to know if it's from the royalties. They will give all the things they promised to give. Because, Madam Speaker, I have never heard in my life. Now, they accuse us. I know my colleague will speak about it, but I'm tempted to say, they accuse us of selling the beach, Madam Speaker. They say we're selling the Queen's Quay. A peacock I have bought a loose, you say, Gabby, you have until the beach was still. But we listen to the voices of the people. If they say don't sell it, we not sell it. But when we didn't sell the beach, but the leader of the opposition, he sold the sea, even Bloa, even Sabla, even a Valameane, Madam Speaker. He sold the sea around St. Lucia, not one place, you know, Madam Speaker. And he said the royalties will be paid to the minister. You ever hear royalties of a country being paid to the minister? He sold even the boundaries that he did not know, Madam Speaker. Because the boundaries were not established. He said it doesn't matter. For the boundary I did. Set out. And these people, Madam Speaker, want to come in this honorable house and play on the minds of St. Lucia and tell them we are for you. We are for you. We're working in your interest. Well, where was my interest when all the sea around St. Lucia was sold? Putla Meapa. They have exclusive rights. I don't know if they exercise this exclusive right. If they'll tell me I can bathe in the water because they must have bought the water, Madam Speaker. You know, Madam Speaker, yes. To the average mind, it may sound, to the bright minds, Madam Speaker, it sounds like stupidity. But you know what? As a student of Scripture, I know God always uses the foolish things to confound the wise of this world. The wise of this world are always confounded or confused by what appears to be foolish. I want to know how you would explain an agreement that is entered into to explore our waters for oil and royalties to be paid to a minister. I want to know how you would explain that. And I hope it can be explained, Madam Speaker. Because sometimes we want to take the people of this country for a ride. And we think it's okay. They're not smart enough to see for themselves. Now, Madam Speaker, I know how they view me. You demand degree. You demand education. You demand half a language. But I have common sense, Madam Speaker. That's what you all say on the other side all the time. But I can't be persuaded by this. You know what, Madam Speaker? I grew up in the struggle. I knew what it was to carry coconuts to buy a book to go to school. And I knew what it was to walk to school, to eat dry bread, and to drink water after. I know about that, Madam Speaker. I know about that. And not all of us had the opportunities. But those of us who had little opportunities, we made good of it. And I compliment any and everybody who have accomplished. But Madam Speaker, as much as they say I don't believe in education, I challenge any one of them on this side to show who has spent more in education. Anybody to show who has spent more on education. So Madam Speaker, when we see what happens, inefficient use of government funds, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, there's so much. A management fee, Madam Speaker, of 10% was being paid to deal. Now, Madam Speaker, understand this. I want to simplify this, that every St. Lucian can understand. In the special project unit of the Ministry of Communications and Works, needed a pen that cost $1. DWE would go and buy the pen for the ministry for $1. And tomorrow they come into the ministry would pay them $1.10. 10%, what you call it, royalties? 10% royalties. I want to know which minister was getting these royalties. That's what they need to come and answer in this honorable house, Madam Speaker. And stop trying to take the people of this country for a ride. Madam Speaker, can you believe that salaries of government workers being paid by a consultant and then the consultant paying, yeah, the government had to pay 10% royalties now to the consultant. So perhaps there's just another election of him. Unbu bayam unjei bao. Again, 10% asui. Madam Speaker, I have never seen a government that was more creative in siphoning money from the people of this country than the previous Labour administration. 655,000 $166.77. And you know what the audit report says? These expenses that there was no need. Rapatin, yes, we're so to government. I'll bring $2 million toilet paper inside here, building the pie factory. I don't want to figure what they were doing on the paper. I cannot imagine what they were doing to use $3 billion worth of toilet paper. But anyway, Madam Speaker, in the exchange rate alone, now we are fixed at the US dollar, Madam Speaker. 2.7169, we know, is the fixed rate. But we went into an agreement with Lagos using the pound, but not agreeing at a fixed rate. You know what this cost us, Madam Speaker? An estimated loss suffered by the government of St. Lucia due to the depreciation of the EC against the pound, approximately $11.7 million. This amount represents at least 10% of the cost of the project. $11.7 million just in exchange rate. And Madam Speaker, I heard the leader of the opposition talking about my Prime Minister, the member for Beaufort North, not being able to manage an economy adequately. Catherine North. I mean, Madam Speaker, when you look at these numbers, not the last time I'm going over there. Madam Speaker, Lagan was given a contract in this country for $43,750,000. He received $133,502,577.81. A difference of $89,752,000 $577.81. LDP free, Madam Speaker. CCI. $23,515,158.93 was the contract price. When this audit report was completed, they had been said $49,097,319.21. A difference of $25,582,160. Now the nicest one, and I wish I had that job, Madam. He was given a consultancy contract of $7 million. $7,402,840.67. Take home, say, Madam Speaker, $21,570,585.78, a difference of $14,167,745.11. Madam Speaker, members opposite have a conscience. They have a feel for the people of this country. They care about what poor people go through. You have them making noise about rental of a building, $114,000. How many times $114,000 can go into $14 million? All together, a difference of over $150 million. Madam Speaker, not an extra mile of road was done, you know. Nothing more. When you give contracts, Madam Speaker, and the contracts are designed in a way where the consultant gets paid a percentage of the job, but it is natural that the higher the job is, the more consultant will get paid. Now they criticize us, Madam Speaker. They say we're going into design finance contracts. Well, let me tell you the benefit of design finance contract. When you design it, anything that is flawed, you correct it at your expense. Not at my expense. And we have a fixed contract. You cannot go above that. You have to give me the work for the price that we agreed to. And I have to certify it, you know. It's not you certifying. It's the ministry certifying. That is why, Madam Speaker, on the East Coast Road, when Gadakan caused delay, I could charge him $1.6 million. You know what was happening previously? It was the reverse. Every holiday, we paid $2,000. Sacre l'appli tombe, ma si nous control over l'appli ka tombe. But under the previous contract, with CCI, GWI and Lager, every time it rains, we have to pay $2,000 or $6,000. They can call it all the names, it's royalties that's what you did not. People were being paid royalties. Royalties. Now they talk about debt matters, Speaker. And the member for abuse for Castries South. He asked me since when I became an expert in financing and economic crisis. You don't have to be an expert, Madam. I tell them, you see the trays, you see the vendors who have the trays there by the road selling? I have the highest respect for these people. You know why, Madam Speaker? Because they leave home, sometimes they pay a bus $10 to drop their tray and their goods there. Sometimes they sell $12 for the day and they have to pay to go back. And these people are still surviving. Some of us who sit in the high offices, we need to go and find out how these people make things work. Because they make ends meet at the end of the day. And these are some of the lessons that maybe some of our civil servants need to learn to understand how things work. So I may not have the degrees they have in economics, but I know how to make the dollars work, madam. Because it's a dollar that can bring you another dollar. And so they say we did a bad job of debt management. Well, Madam Speaker, the record speaks for itself. In 1997, Madam Speaker, the debt in 2006, when we came, the debt stood at $1,624,000,000. Let's call it $1.6 billion, just for round of figures. Today, Madam Speaker, the debt stands at $2 billion. A difference of $400 million. Now, Madam Speaker, when they took the debt in 1997, it stood at $597 million. That overall debt, national debt, not separating what is actual government debt and what is guaranteed, just using the overall figure. Madam Speaker, that's an increase of $400 million. Out of the increase of the $400 million, Madam Speaker, it means that if you have to look at the figures as they are, we have grown the debt, to be precise, $412 million. That is, each year you would look at $103 million. You multiply that by four, you get the $412 million by which the debt has increased. The previous administration, under their watch, increased the debt by an average of $1.102 million each year. So there's a difference of $1 million a year between what we did and what they did. We are $1 million higher. So, Madam Speaker, but what is the scenario that they face and what is the scenario that we face? When they came in, debt to GDP stood at 36.9. On every dollar, Madam Speaker, they had about 64 cents to spend. When we came in, on every dollar, we had 32 cents. So you can do the equation. You can do the equation. It's 64 now. So there's 36 cents. So, Madam Speaker, when we talk about debt management, because I was one inside here from the very first budget presentation, Madam Speaker, I made it a point that we will manage the debt. I said, whatever we have performed, we will come back and we will report to the people. And this is my last budget presentation before the next election. So, I am reporting to the people of St. Lucia that despite all the crises that we have faced, world fuel price, $146 a barrel, increasing food prices, subsidies for rice, flour, sugar, salary increases, 14.5%, all of this, the world economic crisis, in all of this, Hurricane Thomas, drought, earthquake, Hurricane Jean. Madam Speaker, you name it, we have weathered all of these storms. And if we have increased the debt by a difference of $1 million a year over the 4 years, over the average of what the Labour Party is, how bad are we managing an economy? How bad? Let the people of St. Lucia decide how bad we've been, Madam Speaker. Because it's all well and good. It's all well and good for the people who want to be. And Madam Speaker, I'm not spending all my time telling these people how to run a country, because they're not going to be there after the next year. Madam Speaker, the member for Supress, he said we sold Margaret Tooth, we go and build a senior citizen's home, when the agreement was that the sale of the property included, well, the people would have filled the senior citizens' home. Madam Speaker, I don't want to say the member lied. I want to say the member was misinformed. Somebody led him down the wrong path by making him believe something that is not true. Madam Speaker, has the agreement, and the agreement says that they would sell the property. Just listen to it, so I don't want to mislead anybody. The transfer of Magway to site identified as block and parcel number 0029B13 has been approximately 3.64 acres to the Magway to Hotel Development Company Limited at the cost of 8 million. The construction of the new senior citizen zone in Viewport to be financed from the sale of the Margaret Hospital. He did not say that they are going to build the site of the senior citizen zone.
Honourable Member, you have 10 more minutes to finish your presentation.
Madam Speaker, I beg to move for the suspension of Order 324 to permit 32-10, sorry, to permit the member further 60 minutes for the completion of his presentation.
Honourable members, the question is that Standing Order 32-10 be invoked to allow Honourable Member for Taxi Southeast an additional 60 minutes to complete his presentation. And now for the question, Armenia's Arab opinion, say aye. Armenia's Arab country opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it, the ayes have it. Honourable Member, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I see I hit in the move of the member for Castries South. He's perturbed. He cannot understand this. He's too bright, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, Dotty gets it done, no worries. Sorry, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, so when members will come in this honorable house and tell you that look here, this was the agreement and we went and we filled a senior citizen's home. Madam Speaker, you know what this government did? When we came in, we said these lands were sold too cheap. We said to the developer, look here, you need to increase this amount by $2 million. And the developers agreed. So they ended up paying $10 million for the property that the previous government had agreed to sell for the $8 million, Madam Speaker. And as was agreed, the proceeds of this, it was used to build a senior citizen's home. But Madam Speaker, there's an agreement that they had. That if the place was not built by a certain time, and you know what the agreement entailed further, Madam Speaker, we would have had to clear the site for them, included in the price of our $8 million. We said, you want the site, you clear the site. That's not our responsibility. So to give people the impression that they were looking after our interest, and as the member for Castries Central said to them, the money for Zaluzi we're still waiting for. Madam Speaker, they said we don't create jobs. And they've been, you see, it's all well. Now statistics are good, Madam Speaker, conveniently. When the statistics are against them, they don't want to hear it, Madam Speaker. And you wouldn't see much of them here. Because when the kitchen gets too hot, you have to get out. Tu paha pesa le bife a Madam Speaker, tu sot bo bife a, tu paha wepe boy. So, they say we can't create jobs. Under the Mosaic Project, 120 contracts have been issued. This government runs a similar package for Easter, and school closes to help parents with books and school supplies and for Christmas to help people with their little Christmas shopping. From my ministry alone, at least 700 jobs are created, 700 jobs of value of $1,000 is created each one of these quarters. Now, Madam Speaker, note what I said. From my ministry, at least 700 $1,000 jobs are created. Now, if you do that three times for the year, three times, that's 2,100 jobs for the year at $1,000. Madam Speaker, we know what step used to pay, $20 a day. That's what they were doing. We are doing things that are more constructive. Now, under the town and village councils, I know that at least another over 2,000 jobs are created through the same program. And the member for Grove Village gave them a list of jobs. Now, let's look at each quarter, Madam Speaker. My ministry issues at least 150 small contracts ranging from $10,000 to $15,000 throughout the country. Each of these small contracts generates at least 4 jobs. So if you multiply 150 by 4, that is another 600 small jobs that are created 4 times for the year. That's another 2,400. Okay? Then, Madam Speaker, because remember the growth was in the construction and in the tourism sector. So, Madam Speaker, if you look at this, and then you look at the stimulus package offered by the Taiwanese, and the number of people employed in these projects, now where are these captured in the statistics? You know in which statistics it's captured, Madam Speaker? In the statistics of the constituencies. Because the people of the constituencies know what they get. We're not saying that everything is right. And Madam Speaker, look who you know the canal. They have in both the canal a constituency. But don't worry. You know why they are after that? Because Madam Speaker, they have been on platform saying that we have given people who are not qualified to do work. So you know what that means? Because their habit was to give all the big contractors work. And the big contractors used to take the little people, pay them pittance to work for them. Now the little people can walk up to the Ministry of Communications and work and sign their own contract for $10,000 and $15,000. And you know what a gentleman said to me in Dexter? Madam Speaker, pidi mwen jepi mwen, wek tout kanal galagan fe, palagan, gadakan fe, a Dexter, mwen ki te soman, mwen ki fe se kwa tay sa, yo peye mwen pa jou, ou nes lan me ma, jen mwen pa an kontrak, se kon an twe la, mwen mwen ke la, ek mwen siye kontrak mwen, ni kontrak mwen, mwen ni sa la kwa an souvinet pou moun wè dat mwen mèm siye kontrak mwen ek mwen desan trezo a yon la jan mwen. That is empowerment of the people, madam. And that is what this government is about. Madam Speaker, I had drains to do in Sarok. The drains were, it was coming to about $300,000. They wanted me to give one person the contract. Maybe not. Nou pou pay yon 30. What, Madam Speaker? 40 contracts. Ek koup moun desan, yo bin siye kontrak yo, ek yo te konsan pou viye, ek petro avay yo. Ek yo dise kanal nou ki la, nou ki se. That is how you empower the people. Because, Madam Speaker, we understand that we took a blow in the banana industry, in the agricultural sector. It will take these people a little while before they can start getting any revenue. So, sin wai bay only go moun se kontrak la. And you know what we do as a ministry, Madam Speaker? We take, we let our supervisors go there and guide them through. make sure you guide them to put the block straight. It's a training process. We are training them, we are empowering them, and we are paying them at the same time, Master. We are developing a cadre of skilled workers so that they cannot stay only on the farm. We talk about PSME, and you know what we are doing now in the ministry, Madam Speaker? We have an evaluation form, and we are going to run a certification program so that we can categorize each contractor, 30 small, medium, and large contractors. And we will allow people to graduate from one level to the other level so that, Madam Speaker, our people can feel proud that they are the ones building the infrastructure in the very communities that they live. Madam Speaker, that is what good governance is about. Good governance is not about coming here and promise everybody computer. When you promise everybody a computer, you ban tout en la caille. You ban at his job to pay a coin. Even they will have a computer. We have to first empower them. How are we going to generate the revenue that is required to take these people out of the line of poverty? Now the computers are good because you know what this government is working on? An area we are working with a company to create some hotspots, Wi-Fi hotspots throughout the country, in the school zones, the church areas, the public parks, the recreational areas. So what is going to happen, Madam Speaker? If you have a computer and you cannot afford to pay the service at home, the hotspot would be there where you can go there and you can access the internet free of charge. It's a modern age, Madam Speaker, and we have to make our people compatible with the times that we are living in. So we are not just saying we'll give computers. What we are saying is there's some basic infrastructure that you need to put in place. And when you put these things in place, then you can empower the people to move forward. So, Madam Speaker, I don't have to spend time talking more about the job. We know we have not given everybody a job. And it's difficult to give everybody a job. But, Madam Speaker, we are striving towards achieving that. And we are empowering our people more and more. Because you know why we want to empower them, Madam Speaker? We don't want them to come and line up at offices of parliamentary reps every day to come and beg for something. No, Madam Speaker. We want when they come there, we can tell them, look here, we know you have that skill, we will find you a job over there. That is what it's about, Madam Speaker. CEP did not accomplish that. CEP was not a bad idea, but the administration of it and what it did not accomplish. But you see the whole project. You see what FSDF is doing? We are training people. We are giving them skills. And when I've finished with the training program within the Ministry of Communications and Works, we are going to give these people a piece of paper that certifies that they can do a certain value of construction work. So, Madam Speaker, when they cannot work for the government, they can go into the private sector. And they can say to the private sector, me, I have a job by government. Me, that's a recommendation, Madam Speaker. So, Jesus advances rather. Madam Speaker, this is what we are aiming for. As a ministry, Madam Speaker, we have had a very challenging year, Madam Speaker. It has been difficult for us. And I have to applaud the members of staff of the Ministry of Communications. Because, Madam Speaker, we worked night and day from the time Hurricane Thomas hit St. Lucia. And to the account staff, Madam Speaker, I used to be in the office with them. I'm a hands-on person, Madam Speaker. I don't sit in some high office while the people are there. I used to be in the battling 1 o'clock in the morning too. And I used to be on the bridges. And I used to be there by the slide. So, let's say I'm not capable, Madam Speaker. If I'm not the multi engineer, I wasn't the engineer, Madam Speaker. But I was there as a moral boost for the people that if they saw the minister there with them, they knew that the minister had their interest. And he was not just telling them to work. The staff of the ministry, Madam Speaker, we knew everybody wanted to get paid for Christmas. people were looking forward to a little money to spend for the Christmas. And some sat in the account department, Madam Speaker. They worked up till 3 o'clock in the morning, processing payments, to be sure that when they went to Treasury the next day, that a check was waiting and people got a little money. Because, Madam Speaker, it would have been hard to have worked, to have suffered the trauma of Hurricane Thomas, and for Christmas to have come by and nothing to have been given to the people, not to have had a little money to spend. And we know that they appreciated that. Madam Speaker, I've been criticized on many fronts, but Madam Speaker, I am happy that I could have done what I did for the people of St. Lucia. I am happy that they gave me the opportunity to represent them. Madam Speaker, they saw and much suffered. And you know what? I have to say a special thanks to my people of Forest Air. Madam Speaker, Forest Air will never be what it used to be because of what the landslide did to that area. But you know what, Madam Speaker? The people of there didn't put any pressure on me. They did not even, they told me, Lamiko Teki Kwaze, please pass it here. I gather about it in a best of my excellence of Lata. And Madam Speaker, I appreciate that. They didn't come and bother me and say, we need this and we need that. They helped themselves. Some of them actually went out and helped me. Some of them whose houses were damaged were actually out there helping us in the distribution. And I applaud and I commend these people. The churches, Madam Speaker, in the best area, they fed the people, Madam Speaker. They administered was cooking food for all the people working on the roads in these areas, especially the Labe FM, the Adventist Church. The people in the Oxford Pentecostal Church, the Baptist Church in Bethlehem, the Catholic Church. Madam Speaker, all these people came together with Red Cross and NIMO, and we worked. And that is why we have not accomplished everything that we wanted. Volunteers, the Disaster Preparedness Committee, these people worked hard. My constituency group, Madam Speaker, and you know how difficult it is to please people. No matter how much you do. Madam Speaker, at 1 o'clock in the morning, we'll be distributing water. And you know how people behave sometimes. We understand all of this. We didn't get vexed because of that. We understood the need and we tried to do the best that we can. Madam Speaker, they came to my home. They took photos. They put it on the internet. But what I want them to do is to go to the government warehouse and see who's checked for the flowers. And go to Ethan and see who's checked for the mattresses. Because, Madam Speaker, if you will accuse somebody, if I buy something to give to somebody and I keep it, what sense was it making to buy to this? How many pounds of flour can I eat, Madam? Madam, go to Dobri, Madam. Let me be okay. Okay, Madam Speaker, so we knew that people went out there. And we knew that people worked. The business community, Madam Speaker, they went all out. People didn't look at how much profit they were making, how much they were losing. All they did was they gave. And I know CFL has been some. The Super J supermarket, Dibule. I mean, when water was scarce, I think every bottle of water they produced, they made available as much as possible. And Madam Speaker, this spirit of togetherness, this spirit of looking out for each other, we must engender a little more of this in this country. And Madam Speaker, even after all of this, I have to thank the volunteer group. They went down to Bethlehem and they cleaned the multipurpose court that is there. And they helped in cleaning some of the areas. The people from Ministry of Agriculture and Forestry. Now it's easy for everybody to have said, oh, minister, say minister works. So it's supposed to be fair to start. My colleague minister send his people with the chainsaws from the Ministry of Agriculture, and they are fixed at us because they understood the devastation that we suffered in this area, Madam Speaker. And so, Madam Speaker, I cannot say thank you enough to all of the people of St. Lucia, all the foreign governments and all the donors, those we know and those we don't know, for what they did for this country. We owe a debt of eternal gratitude to everyone, because St. Lucia is what it is once again because of the effort of all of these people. Madam Speaker, I want to focus quickly on a few things in my constituency, Madam Speaker. Sometimes, you know, it's kind of difficult to do all of that. How much more time do I have, Madam Speaker?
You have 15 minutes, sir.
Oh, I have that. Okay. Madam Speaker, there are a few things pertaining to the ministry that I will elaborate more on before I go to my constituency. Madam Speaker, the program of vehicle licensing. I know it's a vexing issue. And once people have to pay money, there's an issue. And I understand that. Madam Speaker, I wish I didn't have to pay for anything. I wish I was getting everything through. So I'm not vexed against any St. Lucia. And I'm not saying that they should not want everything free. That's not what I'm saying. But there is a responsibility for the maintenance of law and order in this country. And when the vehicle licensing system was replaced by putting the licensing price on fuel, Madam Speaker, the register in the ministry became a mess. Now the law says clearly that the Ministry of Transport must maintain a register of all vehicles on the island. And Madam Speaker, people were buying vehicles, no change of ownership, just take one number plate, put it on this vehicle, vehicles coming into the island, once it left customs, because the responsibility of the state was removed from the state and put in the hands of certain individuals and entities that had ulterior motives. Now, Madam Speaker, I'm not going to say any more on this, other than to say that today we are discovering so many problems with that system. Madam Speaker, the new Atlas system now has a population of 26,000 clean records of registered drivers in St. Lucia. Through this new system, the ministry has successfully met its target of issuing a license card within 48 hours. Customers save some more valuable time with the process. Now, Madam Speaker, the reason why this first license is taking longer, it is because there's a lot of verification of information, because there are so many fraudulent licenses out there, Madam Speaker. There are so many people who bought their driver's license. And Madam Speaker, we have investigations going on, because there's still reason to suspect that there may still be some illegal activity taking place in this area. And Madam Speaker, I'm not here to hide what happened. You have some corrupt public officers who engage in practices under the table, Madam Speaker, and do things that calls into question the integrity of the systems of government. But Madam Speaker, we are dealing with it as we find it. So that is why when you come for your license, there's a lot of back-checking we have to do to verify that you went through the actual processes. But by the same person would renew as they come in, because by then it would be a clean and updated system, you are going to be given your license right away. Madam Speaker, on the issue of the vehicle license itself, what was done, Madam Speaker? When the government put it on fuel, it applied only to vehicles below 3 tons. So all vehicles 3 tons and over was still required to pay the vehicle license. They took Mundi, Lisa Smaa to gas, and then diesel. So they didn't get gas and then diesel, but gas Lisa to pay. So whether they were above 3 tons or 20 tons, nobody was paying that. So we had a situation of lawlessness in the transport system. So if I sold my vehicle to the minister, you know what was happening? He just take out his number plate from his other vehicle, he put it, his vehicle is not registered. And up to today, Madam Speaker, there are vehicles that have changed 5 owners, and it is still registered in the system on the first original owner that this vehicle. Now, if this vehicle gets into an accident, if it is involved in a criminal activity, who they come in and pick up, Madam Speaker? The original owner, you know, because that is on whose name the vehicle is registered, because no change of ownership was taking place. Right now, with the system of getting the sticker through the ministry, we now have to verify that everything is updated and we are gradually moving towards cleaning the records. So, Madam Speaker, the $150 was not intended as another tax burden on the taxpayers of this country, but it is to regularize a system and to help us in the better management of what is happening. So many stolen vehicles now, Madam Speaker. Now, I know it is easy for people to say, well, look here, we cannot do this and we cannot do that, but Madam Speaker, it is very, very important. We have been able to curtail the number of vehicles without insurance. Because, Madam Speaker, let me tell you what used to happen. I would have 2 vehicles. I go and insure that vehicle. I take the insurance paper and I hold it on the vehicle that it applies to. And then I would take the sticker and I would place it on the second vehicle. But there's only 1 insurance. And we found so many cases like this. That is why we have to make not having the sticker an offense. So even if they find you and you present your insurance paper and you don't have the sticker, you can still be charged. So, Madam Speaker, people find every convenient way of hitting the sticker. And you always have to be 1 step ahead of them if you are going to maintain law and order. And so when you see the police doing all of the crackdowns on the road and checking everybody, it is not because we want to inconvenience people. It is because we want to make the road safe so that if you get into an accident with a vehicle, we want to know that this vehicle has the necessary insurance coverage so that you can get the level of compensation that you require. So, Madam Speaker, these works are ongoing. It is a challenge to clean up a system that for the past 13 years has not been touched in terms of cleaning and upgrading. And you know the fleet of vehicles have almost changed completely in St. Lucia. You still see 2 vehicles on the road with the same numbers, Madam Speaker. And all of these things we have to be able to crack down on. Madam Speaker, the member for Castries Central spoke a bit about alternative energy. I need to speak a little about this. The cost of doing business in St. Lucia is affected heavily by the cost of electricity. Madam Speaker, in the Prime Minister's budget address, he did indicate that there is an allocation for a review of the Electricity Supply Act. Now, Madam Speaker, as the Minister responsible for public utilities, I continue to have serious issues with Lucilec. I believe that the monopoly of Lucilec must be dealt with in the same manner that the monopoly of the cable and wireless giant in the Caribbean was dealt with. And Madam Speaker, let me be very clear in what I'm saying. Alternative energy cannot be decided upon by Lucilec. That is why the Ministry of Energy has gone out, Madam Speaker, can we have a new piece of legislation on the renewable energy sector? Madam Speaker, if Lufilec, which is guaranteed a minimum of 15% return on investment, is the one to dictate what our renewable energy portfolio should be, then this country will continue to pay the high prices that we are paying in electricity. And if there is one factor that affects every St. Lucia, especially Wasco, it is the price of electricity, Madam Speaker. And no matter what people try and do in this country to bring in renewable energy, you cannot get net metering. You always have problems to get connections with Lufilec. So if you decide you're going to go and generate electricity, Madam Speaker, we have so many offers on the table. And I say it with no fear of contradiction. These programs are being frustrated in the process. There are individuals who want to set up their system so that they can generate. Madam Speaker, when you see the solar farms in Canada, these places have sun for 2 months of the year. You see 40 acres of solar farms. We have sun 12 months of the year. We cannot capitalize on solar energy in St. Lucia. Why can't we? Madam Speaker, the government has signed an MOU with a company to convert waste into energy. And I've heard the opposition on the matter, Madam Speaker. They say, I don't know anything about waste to energy. Well, I know one thing, Madam Speaker. If a man is foolish enough to come and spend $40 million and say he's converting waste into energy, I am foolish enough to let him try. If that is foolishness, then I'm foolish enough to let it happen. Let me tell you what. I'm not giving him anything, he's spending his money. All he's asking me to take is the garbage. And he wants to build it right in the garbage dump. So if he build a building, he bring his entry, and it doesn't work. That's his ethics. But during that time, the $40 million he spent, at least 300-400 jobs will be created for St. Lucia. And when he build a building, he can pick it up and put. Madam Speaker, the simple point I'm making, nobody will put their money in something like this if they are not sure of what they are doing. And so, to tell me that we have the opportunity, instead of having a landfill where we pay thousands of dollars to bury garbage, that we can now take the same garbage, incinerate it, and convert it into a synthetic gas that then drives a Caterpillar engine to generate electricity. I have to be a scientist to understand that that can work. I don't have to be a scientist to know that that can work, Madam Speaker. But you see, all we have been asking the electricity company. Now, Madam Speaker, how much electricity you think? 5 megawatts of electricity. Our maximum use is 57 megawatts. What impact would 5 megawatts? And Madam Speaker, imagine if we can convert this way. All these plastics you see all over the place, all the tires, all kinds of waste would now be put into productive use. And the proposal, Madam Speaker, some of the proposals are so good. Presently, if the price of electricity is 42 cents, they are saying over a 5-year period it's going to go down to 19 cents and remain there indefinitely. Is that something that a political party should speak against? Is that something that I don't understand, Madam Speaker? So, when you see we attempt to move, now I have to tell St. Lucia, it is going to be a challenge to deal with Lufilec. It was a challenge to deal with cable and wireless. And I applaud the opposition. I applaud the then leaders of government for taking on the challenge and saying to the then cable and wireless that if you pick out, if you pull out of one of the countries, then pull out of all. We can't say the same for Lufilec, but as a people, we have to be united in our efforts to deal with this issue of electricity and see that we have enough renewable energy so that we can drive down the cost of electricity. Madam Speaker, every time the price of electricity goes up, the price stays the same for Wasco. Water doesn't go up, yet still the highest cost to Wasco is with electricity. Now since I mentioned Wasco, they said we didn't privatize Wasco. And rightly so, Madam Speaker. Because if we had privatized Wasco, and this disaster had hit us, who would fix the water sector? I didn't see that as part of the agreement. Who would fix Wasco? Because some of the assets would remain in the ownership of the country. So, Madam Speaker, there's a plan to develop alternative sources of water. And we believe that well water is one of the ways to go. And Madam Speaker, as I speak to you, Wasco is presently reviewing a proposal. And we are hoping between May and June, we are going to start the drilling of 3 wells between Miku across to Suozel so that we can explore the possibility of getting water, groundwater, to supply the South in particular, because the South has a major problem with water. And so we are targeting the South in the first instance, so that we can seek to alleviate some of the problem. Because, Madam Speaker, if we are successful in the water exploration drive in the South, there will not be need to build a reservoir or a dam that will cost us millions of dollars. And the water from the well, you can depend on more because the treatment required is minimal. So I can assure the people of Beaufort North South, Mikud North, Mikud South, across to Tufre and Suozel, you will have some of these issues addressed. So, Madam Speaker, the ministry is moving in a direction. We said that we wanted to build local capacity among contractors. Madam Speaker, the same incentive being offered to foreign contractors will now be offered to the local contractors. Because what has been happening to our local contractors, Madam Speaker? You give a foreign contractor a duty-free project, so he gets to bring in everything duty-free. So he pays his tenders on a duty-free price. When he employs the local, he employs the local at his duty-free price, but the local contractor must pay all the duty prices. How can the local contractor make any profit from the business? So in the program that we have as a ministry, the same incentive being offered to the foreign contractor, once the local contractor meets a certain minimum requirement, we will offer them the same incentive so that they can improve on the level of machinery, equipment, and the necessary things they need to upgrade themselves, so that when you have the full liberalization of movement within the OECF and the wider CARICOM, our people will be well equipped enough to be able to go outside of St. Lucia and tender for jobs, just as those from the outside are coming in and tendering for jobs in our own country. Madam Speaker, we have to give our locals the same opportunities that are given to other people. And so, Madam Speaker, rehabilitation work, we've heard a lot about it. We couldn't just go and build a wall, because it's not just a wall that collapsed, Madam Speaker. We had to do extensive studies. Madam Speaker, because of the situation that we are faced with, the badly, there's constant land movement, soil movement. You can see there's a place, the more we stabilize, we put drainage, everything. You can still see the movement. We have to do some extensive studies T4, we could just go in and construct a wall, and then 2 weeks after it collapsed. That is why, Madam Speaker, we took our time. The design for at least 4 of the walls are completed in the Badlil, and they are out, being tendered through the CBD program, so that the construction of these walls can begin. But I have to inform St. Lucia, this is still the road that we use. So we cannot go and construct 6 or 8 walls, because the international requirements would be, you'd have to close the road if you have so much construction going on in such close proximity. So we would have to change the road as we move along. Madam Speaker, I heard they say we're not distributing the work. But we have one contractor in the Pasias area in Moderipo. You have another 2 different contractors, all from down south, in the area between January and the south, in the Mikud area, doing the reconstruction. We have the Asgalet Bridge reconstructed. So, Madam Speaker, work is ongoing. We have just issued the contract for the bypass road at Boadoas. We had started some work, but the levels were too low. When we saw what was happening with the river, I can now inform this Honorable House that the contract has been issued for the construction of the bypass road. Once the bypass road is completed, Madam Speaker, construction work will begin on the Boadoas Bridge. The bypass road will be completed before the rainy season, so that in the event the Boadoas Bridge is damaged further by the hurricane season, we would by then have an alternative route, so that the grocery, the northern section of the island would not be that badly affected. And Madam Speaker, we are hoping and praying that we don't have anything close to what we suffered during the last year. Madam Speaker, moving to my constituency now, because I want to assure St. Lucia and the member for Sufre, there are about 6 excavators working in Sufre presently, and the contract for the main Sufre River has also been awarded. And Madam Speaker, to allay the fears of people, a contractor came in and said, just pay him a mobilization fee, and he will distill the entire river, and he will take the material as he chains. Now, Madam Speaker, we would have to find places to go and dump this material. I thought that it was a wonderful opportunity. I brought it up to the Minister of Finance, and he agreed that this is the easiest way to go. So they are going to pull out the material from the river and take it and barge it to other places that they can use. This, Madam Speaker, will reduce the cost of having to distill the Sufre River, which is quite an extensive amount of work that we have to do. We have started in my colleague's constituency down in the Denry Valley. We have started some work there, and these works will be ongoing. I know the member for Mikud North was a bit concerned about the Magwetut area. We have plans in place, and hopefully by next week we would have some equipment in this river. Madam Speaker, I know the Castries River is a cause for concern. We have redirected the river in the Mac area. We have done some in the Bedford area. Madam Speaker, quite a bit of work is going on. A lot of the work is not happening close to the road, so people may not necessarily see the extent of the work that is being carried out. I know the Ministry of Agriculture, and they didn't even wait on us, and I have to thank the Minister of Agriculture. He could have used these resources elsewhere, but Madam Speaker, he chose to use them to bring relief to the farmers in some of the most affected areas. Madam Speaker, we must never forget the extent of the impact of this storm on St. Lucia. Today, Madam Speaker, I stand here proudly on behalf of the people of Badi Sosi, Badi, Lakwa, Bele, and surrounding areas. Madam Speaker, the first suspended multipurpose court. Now they say I'm building a swimming pool. I heard somebody from Croatia building a swimming pool in a street, Madam Speaker. But I have not gotten to that stage yet. But I was able to build a court, Madam Speaker, until us with a community center below it. So we have two in one. And it's a new version, Madam Speaker. And I know that a few of my colleagues are going to copy from what I've done, and we are going to see a few more of these. But I'm very proud, Madam Speaker. Every single night of the week, when you go to the community of Babisoke, you see it as netball, cricket, football. There is some sporting activity taking place. And I know that the people of this area, they waited for this. They told me since the days of the first parliamentary that they really knew Mrs. Geraldine Rock. They were promised something in that area, and it finally happened, Madam Speaker. And I'm happy that it was able to happen under my watch. We have done some together with the parliamentary rep for Ansari Canaries. Some upgrading works have been done on the Bele playing field. Madam Speaker, in Odsa we are constructing a bridge, because since the bridge was washed away. Now, I don't like to mention too many communities, Madam Speaker, because when this person helps the community and they don't help another one, they get worried. But in Caldisac, we have run a point site, and we are constructing a concrete road inside there also. Madam Speaker, in Forest here, we have constructed a new playing field. And I heard somebody talking about that, Madam Speaker. And he said, my brother was working there for 2 or 3 years, and the work has not been completed. I want to inform them that it was after Good Friday last year we started the work, and it was interrupted by Hurricane Thomas. And Madam Speaker, this is not a government project. This is, and this is a project that was done more on a voluntary basis by the person who worked on it. You see, Madam Speaker, it is easy to pass around and criticize people when we see things happening in the constituency, but it is always wise to investigate what happened. And Madam Speaker, I can announce in this Honorable House that the Forestier Good Friday Table Competition is having a brand new venue this year, because the first ball will be bowled on the new Forestier playing field, where a number of teams from around the island, including my parliamentary colleagues from Babono and the one from Anslery, there will be teams from their area coming up there to play this competition this year. And one team, Madam Speaker, from my area, that's the Badney area, the Road Shadows team. You know why they are called Road Shadows, Madam Speaker? Because all their life they had to play cricket on the road. And they are national players playing for the national team of St. Lucia. That is why they are so happy about the multipurpose court in Badney, because at least they have something to go by, somewhere to play. Madam Speaker, a number of projects have been done in my constituency. I will not detail every project one by one, because I know that the people of Castries Southeast know that all I promised them was good representation. And I know, Madam Speaker, by the time the Prime Minister decides to call the election, the people of Castries Southeast will know where to vote. I don't have to tell people where to vote. Madam Speaker, we are going to be judged by what we have done. Madam Speaker, through my Taiwanese fund, I have been able to assist 5 small businesses which create employment for at least 8 people in the constituency. We set up a grant aid of about between 3 and 5 thousand to get small businesses started. Among them is one that brings souvenir goods and different things to sell to the hotel. And the other one that really stands out is a barber shop in one of the communities. Now, Madam Speaker, sometimes when you announce these things, you get bombarded by more and more requests of more and more things. But nevertheless, I know the people of Castries Southeast. And Madam Speaker, I am proud to represent these people. and I want to assure them that their parliamentary rep will never bring shame to the house. Madam Speaker, I've been attacked on every front by the opposition as it relates to things in my ministry. But Madam Speaker, I can stand proudly in this house and say, I want them to come and investigate my ministry. You will not find an irregularity in anything in my ministry. Because you know what? I know the people who give him the information, you know, Madam Speaker. When you saw the leader of the opposition came and he waved the paper and he said, I have a list of all the contracts. Of course he has it. And I'm happy that he has it, Madam Speaker. Because if he could find one, if there was one illegal activity, he would have brought it. That's why the only thing he could have brought up was the issue of one contract issued in Goodland where he was happy. Ha, ha, ha. I have the member. He said there would be no cost overrun. But I proved to this Honorable House today that there's no cost overrun. Madam Speaker, it is about representation. It is not about how much noise we make. I make the noise in the right places. I don't come here and broadcast on every little thing I do. Madam Speaker, when I help people fix the house, I don't go and put it on TV. You know why? Because I believe that my people must maintain their integrity. So I don't go and make noise about it. You know, if I give somebody something, my background, Madam Speaker, is when you do charity, let the charity speak for itself. The people who need to know, they know. And that is what is important. Madam Speaker, I'm not passing around and promising people things that when I win elections, I'm going to give to them. So if I don't win, what happens? When I decided to come into elections, I made things available. In sports, Madam Speaker, I have given over 100 pairs of football boots. I've distributed over 100 soccer balls throughout the constituency. I have given training gear, uniforms. Madam Speaker, when I stood on the platform, I promised the people that every month, out of my salary, I would give $1,000 towards sporting activities. And I'm proud to say that outside of all the things I have given, that I have sponsored sports competitions in excess of $50,000 for the past 4 years, Madam Speaker, combined together in the constituency of Castle Southwick. Because I believe that if we want the youth to engage themselves in meaningful activities, we must create the enabling environment in order that they can get off the block and use their energies in a positive way. Madam Speaker, I believe in education. I believe in education. And I believe the opportunities that I did not have, I must help create for those who come after me. And Madam Speaker, my family can testify to this, that every one of them who has been to university, that as a family we've gotten together and we've paid every cent that had to be paid so that they go to university. Because I believe that in this environment, you need a university education. And I want to live to see the day when this country has more than 3 or 4 universities where students can have choice. And I have to compliment Monroe and the member for Castle South, because I think that Monroe has afforded an opportunity to students in St. Lucia that otherwise they would not have had. And as the Prime Minister knows, myself and the Minister of Education, we have championed the cause. Anytime something comes up and it's for education, it finds the full support of the Cabinet of Ministers, because we believe in the education of our people, Madam Speaker. But I want to see more universities. And Madam Speaker, I can announce in this Honorable House that I have yet undertaken a personal initiative to engage universities in discussion, and there's a full contingent coming down from Lindbergh College to explore the possibility of setting a compass. The Minister of Education has the document, the Prime Minister has the document, because they are looking at St. Lucia as a prime destination to set up a branch campus. And that is the direction that we want to go. It is not just about making Sir Arthur Lewis a university college, but it is creating opportunities so that, I have always said, you want to grow tourism, grow the university. That's the longest stay over visitor you can have in your country is a student. So I'd love to see a university in each corner of St. Lucia, where the people who come there can rent houses and can cause the economy to grow. Madam Speaker, we are beautiful tropical country, and these people in the cold country would love to come to St. Lucia and enjoy the ambience, enjoy the country, to exchange semesters with schools outside of St. Lucia. That's the direction. And Madam Speaker, if they want a place to establish, I have a place in Forest. The government just acquired from London. We're giving it to them free of charge to establish a university or so. Madam Speaker, those who say they are for the Mali are the ones who want to keep the people being Mali. When I hear my ministry being criticized, rather than applauding the ministry for the way we stretch our engineers to divide the little contract, they say they make the drains like snakes. And they say don't give them work because they are not qualified. But Madam Speaker, it will remain a policy of this government that as much work as possible will go to the local contractors in this country. You know why, Madam Speaker? Under the previous administration, we have LAGA, we have GADACA, we have CCI, and we have DOZI. These were the lead contractors. And then you have DIWI, which was the lead consultant. Madam Speaker, under the Kuwaiti-funded project, they say when foreign governments finance projects, you cannot say what should happen. Well, when I came in, Madam Speaker, I said, is that a loan? They said, yes. Do we have to pay it back? Yes. Well, I need to have some say in who does what. And so I said, don't put that in one big package. I want you to give me the opportunity to remove the 6 smaller roads that is below $1.5 million, put it into 6 separate packages so that my local contractors can qualify to tender on this project, and the bigger project, put it in one package. There were 12 roads, 6 went into one package, and the other 6 went into 6 different packages. Madam Speaker, I am proud to stand in this Honorable House today and say that these 6 contracts are all being executed by local contractors in St. Louis. And the bigger package, Madam Speaker, is also being executed by a local contractor. You know why, Madam Speaker? You know why CCI didn't tender? They said I don't have enough money. But that's the reason why I wanted this cut, so it would not look so big to attract all the outside contractors who want to come and flock into St. Lucia. So they said to remobilize and come here for $21 million. That's not making sense. But that's the idea, Madam. Build local capacity so that when St. Vincent has a job, we can tender on it. And the same way the Belgians can tender here, and the Jamaicans can tender on jobs there, I want to see the St. Lucia grow to be able to go and tender in this country. And so, Madam Speaker, that is a policy position, not just of my ministry, but of this government. Because I, even under concession arrangement, when we give concession for a project in excess of $50 million, Madam Speaker, 40% of the work must be subcontracted to locals. And when we give a when a project is below 30 million, then 20% of this work is mandated to be subcontracted to local contractors. Madam Speaker, this is a government who believes that St. Lucians must come first in St. Lucians. We cannot be working for other people. We have to work first for ourselves in our country. And so, Madam Speaker, as we reflect on what has happened during the past 4 years of this administration, Madam Speaker, we've had our challenging times. We've had the difficult times. But we've weathered every storm without murmuring and without complaining. And Madam Speaker, even if we did not realize a 4.4% growth, this would not break our spirit. We would still come inside here. And with the resilience of the people on this side of the house, we would continue to work until we could have accomplished the goals that we set out to accomplish. We didn't promise the world, but we promised good representation. And I know, Madam Speaker, I am convinced that we have given the best possible representation that we could have under the circumstances. People may not accept it. They will tell you, Saki Pep Setli, Zor Setli, Sitafaza Pep. Madam Speaker, the people of St. Lucian will get us at that. Only the members of the opposition may want to think that what happens outside of St. Lucian doesn't affect us. And I have manifesto promises here, Madam Speaker. I didn't make manifesto promises. You know what I promised the people? I would not go and get what they were getting. I didn't want to look for royalties from any contractor. So when I tell them, you cannot get a job, or if you did not deliver the job well, we are going to penalize you. I'm not afraid. They can't go back and say they paid me. If I used to receive money from them, Madam Speaker, I couldn't discipline them. I never operate with my back against the wall. I don't accept royalties, Madam Speaker. And I will never sign a contract that royalties must be paid to the minister. I will not do that, Madam Speaker, because I'm not the country. If royalties for the seabed of St. Lucia must be paid, it must be paid to the accountant general or to the government of St. Lucia, not the minister. And Madam Speaker, this is an indictment upon the opposition. I will say this one last thing. When you hear they talk about walls, Madam Speaker, I warn the member for that. I told him when I was building the wall, when the road collapsed, Madam Speaker, he told me to build the wall by his own. I said, as a colleague, I am not. The only advice I can give you, your palm tree that you planted there, pulls the wall away. So my advice to you is, build your wall. That was the advice I gave him as a colleague. I said, politically, this is a bad thing to do. You cannot if I use the state resources and I build a wall there for you. And there are so many people suffering in so many places. Their houses are in greater danger. Madam Speaker, as I came down there, they put ballistas on the wall. You ever see government build a wall by the road to protect the road and they put ballistas on it? Madam Speaker, the reality is, some of us put our interest before the interest of the people that we claim we want to represent. That's why the people will deal with us according to what we deserve. I thank the people of Castle South, and I thank the people of St. Lucia. And Madam Speaker, I stand here today because of the prayers of the people. Sometimes I wonder where I get the energy to go. Sometimes 3 days with 4 hours sleep a night, Madam Speaker. But I have people who pray for me, and I thank them. Those who send me text messages to encourage me, I thank them. And those who just meet me on the road, and those who criticize me, I thank them also. Because criticism keeps me along the straight and narrow way, Madam Speaker. And I thank everybody for the opportunity. I thank God, Madam Speaker, for these 4 years. You know what I keep on telling myself? If you can fool your mind, I tell myself, I cannot afford to be sick. And even when something is attacking me, I say, I have too much to do. I cannot afford to be sick. And I convince my mind that my body cannot afford to be sick. And I'm not walking sick. I don't think it's because I'm that good, mother and sister. I believe it's because God has embraced an understanding of my situation, of my own feeble weaknesses, and has given me the strength to perform the task that the people of this country appointed me to do. And so, Madam Speaker, I thank you, and I pledge my commitment to the people of St. Lucia that I will continue to look after the interest as long as I continue to serve them. I thank you.